Blog Talk Radio.
Come on.
Together tonight, delving into the Word of God, believing God to speak to us again with regard to our faith and how we're to shift our focus away from what we see to what we hear. Amen? So we're asking that you would get your hearts and minds in tune and prepare to grow. And I always like to remind you at the very beginning of the broadcast that if you have anything you want to share, question you want to ask or whatever, just press 1 at any time and we'll make sure to bring you in so that you can become a part of the conversation. But I'm just grateful to God for another opportunity to be with you. Let's look to Him tonight. Lord, we thank you. I do ask that you allow the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart to be acceptable in your sight. For, O Lord, you are our strength and you are our Redeemer. Amen. So, if you recall, we talked last week about shifting our focus from what we see to what we hear. So, we're going to continue to explore that tonight because we feel that it's a necessity that we move beyond saying what we see. And we can get so caught up in that very, very easily. We want to transition to the place where we begin to say what we hear, no matter what it looks like. And what we're meaning by that is we have to rely on what the Spirit of the Lord has said about us, what He has said to us, what He is saying with regard to our current situation and circumstances, what He has to say about the world in this hour. Because as you know, there's so much that seems to speak of turmoil and looks to be just tumultuous as it pertains to the world around us today. But God has spoken, and we are to trust His word and walk by faith and not by sight. So God is speaking to His people. So when we speak of what the Spirit has said, and when we begin to follow that and say that and confess that, then what we're doing is we're moving beyond the place that is confined and that's limited by our senses. And we're moving into a place that God has called us to, and that is a place of faith. So when we're talking tonight, just to kind of bring us up to where we are for part two, we talked last week about the fact that the Spirit of the Lord would speak only that which he heard. We found that in John 16, and the scriptures tell us that the Holy Ghost would come, but that he wouldn't speak of his own, but he would only speak that which he would hear, that which he heard from God. And he would bring us messages straight from the throne room. Now, I'm going to leave it to you to go to those scriptures because we're going to deal with some other ones tonight, but that was in John 16, 13. But the Spirit of God has been given to us to lead and guide us into all truth. And how does he do that? He does that by speaking to us, by sharing with us, by impressing upon our spirit, by giving us discernment. You know, our spirit man comes alive when we accept Christ. We're born of the Spirit of God. So that's what the scriptures mean when it says that God has given us this treasure in earthen vessels. That treasure is the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the living God, and he speaks to us and he guides us. Now, those who don't believe, of course, to them, you know, that which God has given, his plan, is foolishness. You know, the scriptures give us to know that the plan of God, this gospel, is foolishness to them that perish. But to those who know God and who live according to his will, we know that his word is life. And in his word, we find life, we find peace, we find strength. So we're to move beyond then that place that's dictated by our flesh, that place that's confined and it's limited by our senses. Because God, again, is not calling us, he's not calling you or me to rely on our intellect. You know, what he's called us to, he's going to provide for. And so tonight, as we go forward and we expand on this, you know, we are going to be dealing with then the fact that God has spoken, and he requires of his people then to adhere to what he said, because he's given us to know that this is a walk of faith. I was reminded of how the Lord had spoken to his disciples. Just thinking of the times when they were walking with him, and Jesus gave them foreknowledge. Now, I want you to follow me with this as we're talking about not relying on what we see, but on what God has said. Do you recall when Jesus was arrested, and after he was arrested, he was subsequently crucified? You know, that was a very trying time for his disciples. They had walked with this man for 3 years. They had left everything that they knew. They left their livelihood. They left their families to walk with him in ministry. And in so doing, they were selling out, if you will, to their lifestyle of the world, because Jesus said, you have to give up all and follow me. That was his prerequisite for them to come. And he told them to follow him, and they did that. Well, they followed him. They saw him heal the sick. They saw him raise the dead. They saw him bring light and life to those who seemed hopeless and helpless. They walked closely with him. But the thing about it was, there was more than one occasion. I want you to think about, there was more than one occasion where Jesus taught them, he told them what would happen to him during the time of his ministry. He told them, he spoke to them. Now, we're going to expand on following what God has said rather than what we see, okay? Saying what God says instead of saying what we see. Now, Jesus is moving toward the end of his ministry, and he began to share with his disciples some things that the world couldn't understand. In Mark 9 and 31, he said to them, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after three days, he will rise. Now, you can't get much clearer than that. He said he's going to be betrayed into the hands of men. You know, those, of course, who don't care about him. He was very specific. He said they will kill him. In other words, they're saying to them, he's saying to them, they're going to kill me. And after 3 days, I'm going to get up. Well, that was something that he shared with them. But as we look right there in Mark 9:32, the very next verse, It was very clear. It said, but they did not understand what he meant and were afraid to ask him. Isn't that something? Well, of course, who knew at that time of anybody who had died and then come back to life? So it's like, okay, what is he talking about? Is he speaking in another parable here, or is he speaking, is this something that's real? Is he talking about dying and coming back to life? Do you remember he talked about the temple being destroyed and being raised up in 3 days? But they were fearful to ask him what he meant. But he spoke to them very clearly, very distinctly. But at the time then that he was arrested, they became overwhelmed. And I believe that on some level they were so filled with fear that they forgot what he had spoken, and they began to say what they saw as opposed to what he said. So here it was that he actually died. He died on the cross. So this Jesus, who is the Christ, he was the Christ, and they had followed him, and he had let them know that the kingdom had come on earth, and that, you know, they too would be able to go to a place that he had prepared for them. He let them know that he knew the Father, that one whom Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had spoke of, that God. He had come from that God, and all of their hopes seemed to have been dashed, because now this one whom they had seen raise the dead, heal the sick, cleanse lepers, they walked with him. They heard him speak. They saw him teach. They heard him teach. They saw him bring about situations where Peter, James, and John, where they were fishing and all those type of things, and Jesus did things that no one else could have done. He taught in a way that no one else taught with such authority. And yet this one whom they had put, in whom they had put all their trust, had died. He had been arrested, and he had died. And what did they do? They became fearful, and they hid. You know, the message that they received didn't line up with what they saw. But remember, he had told them something. And we're coming back to what we were talking about last week. What we see will generally produce something that's an antithesis to our faith. In other words, it goes against our faith. And this is what happened to them. In the light of what they saw, their Savior being arrested and being hung on a cross and being stabbed in his side, and they saw him give up the ghost and die. And so they could not grasp it. You know, just the fact that he had told them that he would rise again, in light of all of this that was happening, they could not grasp it. So the first thing I want us to think about is that if we go by what we see as opposed to what Jesus said or what God has said in his word, generally what's going to happen is it's going to produce fear rather than faith. Because what we see is temporal. What we see speaks to circumstances and situations and not what it is that God has produced by his Spirit. You see, this is why the Word of God says we walk by faith and not by sight, because God knew that if we walk in this world, that everything we see speaks contrary to his Word. He made this world, but the world is in enmity against God. And so what we see doesn't line up with the word, and so we cannot align with the world system. We are aligned with the kingdom of God. So first of all, if we align with what we see, it produces fear, just as it did in the hearts of the disciples. They were fearful. They were so afraid. They ran and they hid. When we do that, when we align with what we see, we not only become fearful, but then we must realize we've aligned with the temporal. We've aligned with that that does not last. We've aligned with the natural. And the natural man cannot receive the things of God. You know, this world is fast fading away. And if we put our hope and our trust in the world, then that means if we align there, we begin then to rely on our own means. Why? Because the flesh always opposes the spirit. And then we begin to walk by what we see. We're not walking by faith, but we're walking by sight. So when we begin to believe what we've seen, we align ourselves with the temporal. And that then causes us, we have to rely then upon this flesh. Where have I been? What do I know? What's worked before? I'm going to try what I've always done before. As opposed to doing what it is that the Lord is telling us and speaking to us, we'll run to a place and hide, as opposed to having our faith stretched and being able to speak what God has spoken, even in the midst of opposition. Because you got to remember, our flesh opposes the spirit. That's why in times when God has spoken to you and to me, and he's telling us to do this or do that, if our circumstances don't line up, we're going to have to take a step of faith, sometimes a leap of faith, and go ahead and profess what God has shown us, what God has said to us in the spirit, in spite of sometimes even ourselves, and most of the time, in spite of ourselves, because a lot of what we deal with is those inward battles, those inward struggles in the mind, you know, based upon what we know and what our experiences have been. But God is saying, if you begin then to go by what you see and you begin to say that and you forget what I've told you, first of all, you're going to have to deal with fear, and fear always comes to oppose your faith. And then you're going to find yourself aligning, number two, with the temporal. And that's always, always a mistake. When we align with the temporal, when we align with what we see, when we align ourselves with what makes sense in our circumstance, because then we're not operating from the vantage point that God has called us to, and that is kingdom authority, you know, seated in high places, heavenly places with Christ Jesus. You know, we don't operate from that vantage point when we're going by what it looks like as opposed to what God has said. So the disciples then became overwhelmed. This is another thing that happens when we begin to say what we see. We can begin to be so overwhelmed and filled with fear because that which is of the world is designed to wear men out. The Word of God even lets us know in this end time that if it were not for God and the Spirit of God, that the enemy would wear out the saints. But the thing about it is, with what goes on in our world, if we're not mindful of what God has spoken in his word, he tells us, he comforts us. He tells us what to expect, what's going to come. But he says, don't be afraid. Fear not, because I'm with you. And the thing about it is, I've already overcome the world. And the kingdom that you are attached to and the kingdom that you reside in, even now while you walk this earth, is an everlasting kingdom. So I don't want you to become overwhelmed with fears about your future, because I need you to be present and accounted for in the now. If we're overwhelmed with fears about our future, if we're worried about tomorrow, and God has specifically told his people, don't worry about tomorrow. Give no thought for tomorrow. Tomorrow, the evil of tomorrow is sufficient in and of itself. What I want you to do is to be present and accounted for in today, because I want to use you today. My promises are for today in your life. Yesterday is gone. You may not see tomorrow, but today God wants to use us. And today we need to hear his voice. Do you remember the scripture says today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Why? Because all we have at any given time is today, and God wants us to live in the moment. What happens then when we align ourselves with our feelings and what we see and our circumstances? Then we begin to walk after what the scriptures call, we begin to walk after the flesh, which always opposes the spirit. Now, we always think about certain things when we think about works of the flesh, but anything that opposes God is of our flesh, because the flesh is at enmity with God. Now, you can read all about the works of the flesh in Galatians 5. We're not going to go into all of that. But when we talk about the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, all of those things, all of that is included in the lust of the flesh. But God is saying, I want you to keep your mind on the kingdom. He's saying, I want you to seek first the kingdom of God and my righteousness, and then everything you need is going to be added unto you. You don't have to worry about it. All I want you to do is walk free from fear, is what the Lord wants us to do. Walk free from fear. And this, you know, is so needful right now because we're facing a time when so much has come to oppose the faith of God's people and to cause them to operate out of a place of desperation and fear. But God is saying, fear not. You know, the thing that we have to understand is if we live according to our flesh, we will die. The fruit of living after the flesh is death. Life, according to the flesh, has death as its fruit. Now, just don't think about being out and you know, living a life totally sold out to sin, but I'm talking about anything that opposes God, the fruit thereof is death. But God wants us to put to death everything that opposes him and to stand for him. He's saying, I want you to stand on what I've said, not what you see, because what I've said to you is that the time is coming when it's going to be hard. You know, it's going to seem hard in the natural. But what I want you to do is I want you to understand that I'm already with you, and I want you to understand that I've already overcome the world and that I've come to set you free. Don't you know that we can be free in the midst of times when everything seems to be in turmoil, when everything speaks of chaos? God is saying, I've called you to freedom, and I want you to walk in that freedom. You're going to find all of that still in Galatians 5. I want you to walk in that freedom, knowing that you've been justified by faith, and that it's only by walking in the Spirit that you're going to be able to live above your circumstances. It's the only way. Christ has come to set us free. Now, when we talk about what we delved into last week, God is saying if you choose to align yourself with the temporal, then you're going to find yourself being limited because you're going to have to depend upon that which is within you as opposed within your natural self as opposed to what I've put inside of you, which is the Spirit of the living God. And the Spirit of God is not going to just override what it is that we want to do. He will speak to us, you know, in this time of testing. He's going to call us out and apart and cause us to do things that in the natural we know that we would never have been able to do. We never would have entertained doing it. But I believe this, that in this time of great turmoil, God is beginning to raise up leaders and raise up those who perhaps have kept silent. And he's going to begin to speak to them and speak through them. But it's going to be something that is an appointment by God. It is divine, and they will be anointed to move and to operate by the Spirit of the living God and not according to human capabilities. And this is what it is that God is calling us to today. Because, listen, I want you to read your word. In this end time, there's going to be such a spirit of deception. There will be those who proclaim to be aligned with Christ and even those who proclaim to be Christ. But God has already told us, don't operate by what you see. Go by what I said, because there will be many false Christs who will come in my name. You'll hear people say, lo, he's here, lo, he's there. He said, don't go after them. Remember what I told you, because there's so much that's coming up on this earth and so much that you're going to be faced with that if we don't remember what he said, if we're not listening to what he's saying in this hour, we'll be caught up by what we see and we'll begin to say what we see and we'll begin to give the same chorus that the world is giving. But God is saying, I'm not in that. But you'll know my move if you follow my Spirit. Because what's going to happen is I'm going to raise up sons and daughters who will say what I say, who will go where I tell them to go, who will do what I tell them to do. This is the time that we're living in. It's not a time to fear, although when we look around us, there's so much that could cause you and I to be troubled, right? There's so much that could cause us to draw back. And there are times when we do feel like we're alone, perhaps, and that God has forgotten us, just as his disciples felt then, because they said, listen, we've walked with him, we've eaten with him, we've prayed with him, and now he is gone. He is dead. And they hid. They hid themselves. But God is saying to us today, stop saying what you see and begin saying what you hear, because I'm not dead. I'm yet alive, no matter what the world is saying, and I'm not limited, you know, to what you can offer to me, you know, the Lord would say. He's not limited by what we bring to the table, but God wants to endow us with power from on high. God wants us to walk with kingdom authority in the earth. He wants to use the gifts that he has given. Listen, the scriptures tell us when Christ ascended into heaven, what did he do? He gave gifts unto men. Why was that? So that the kingdom of God would be manifest in the earth. Not that we would entertain one another with our gifts, but God led captivity captive. So we're no longer to be held captive by the works of the enemy, you know, by the plots and schemes of the enemy, or even by the lies that we tell to ourselves based on what our experiences have been. But God is saying, no, I've already led captivity captive, so you don't have to be held captive by anything or anybody or any circumstance. I did that, and I gave gifts unto men. He gave gifts severally as he will. Now, the Spirit of the living God is the one who comes in and breathes on that gift that God has given to you and to me, or gifts, plural, and it's through the Spirit of the living God that we operate. It's in him that we live and we move and we have our being. That which God has deposited in you is for a purpose. It's for a time and a season. And the fruit thereof brings forth life and life everlasting. Remember, life according to the flesh has death as its fruit. But God has willed it already. He's already spoken. Listen to what he's spoken. He has spoken that we would bear much fruit. It's his will that we bear much fruit. You can go there and just read, stay in Galatians and read all of that and read Galatians 5. But God has anointed you and me, and he's calling us, he's speaking to us, and he's already spoken that he wants to use us beyond our human capabilities. When you go there in Ephesians 1 and 2, you'll see that God has said that we are seated in heavenly places right now in Christ Jesus. Paul shared that by the unction of the Holy Ghost with the church at Ephesus so that they would understand their position in God. You see, we are effective where the anointing of God is flowing, and that's why the enemy wants to get us off base, off track, and focus on the things around us as opposed to what Jesus has said. When Jesus spoke, he spoke Rhema. He was the living word, of course, Logos. But when he spoke, he always spoke a word that was relevant for the time. He spoke a word that penetrated men and women's hearts. And he speaks something to us today that's relevant for us. You know, God has given us something that's indispensable. God has given us something that is so much greater than what we have ever experienced. And this is what we're saying tonight, is that God is calling us to a place that takes us beyond what has limited us because we've operated by our senses. So he says tonight, I want you to stop saying what you see. What is it that you're seeing tonight? We know what the disciples saw. You know, they saw something that seemed like the end to them. It seemed like at first they were turning the world upside down, and the word says that, you know, they were doing great things with Jesus. But after he was off the scene, once the Spirit of God came in to their lives and overtook their lives and they were filled with the Spirit, they did turn the world upside down. Why? Because they weren't going then by their experiences and just based on their talents, but they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and that's what it's going to take in the last day. God is calling his church. That's why so many times throughout Revelation, it'll talk about, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. Because it's going to be so vital, my friend, that we hear what God is saying to us in this hour. Because I'm going to tell you now, what you see on a daily basis is not going to add up to what God has said, because he's not speaking to our intellect. He's not speaking just to our circumstances. He is speaking to our spirit. He is calling us to a higher place. He's saying, come up above your circumstance. I want you to begin to say something different than what it looks like. You know, the saints used to sing a song, God's not dead, he's yet alive. Well, you know, people think God is dead, but that's the proclamation that he's not dead, he is yet alive. How do you know? You know because he lives in you. But God is saying, this mortal is going to put on immortal, but while you're living here, you're not to walk after the flesh, but after the spirit. You're not to do what it is that your mind and your intellect and our desires cause us to do, but do what it is that the Spirit of the Lord is calling us to do. Why? Because he's moving, he's pulling on his remnant in the earth, he's aligning his people, and it's not going to be by weapons. You know, I know that our leaders are talking about, or you know, we're in a world war, and the world is in a war. It is a time of war. But I want to submit this to you as well. Just as there is a war going on in the natural, God wants his church to wake up and realize that there is a war going on in the spirit. And just as those in the natural have to hear what their commander in chief is saying and follow those marching orders, it's so paramount right now. So paramount, because what's happening in the spirit, what's happening in the flesh and the natural is something that's giving us a glimpse over into what's happening in the spirit. There's so many outright attacks that are coming against the Word of God, that are coming against the people of God, that are coming against the church of God. They are outright attacks, terrorist plots and schemes, but it's in the spirit realm. And we have to see it. We are warring against powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness and rulers of darkness in this present age. And God is saying, I need you to hear what I'm saying and not deal with just what you see. What you see is something that's being produced to incite fear. Those who don't know God will walk in fear and terror. But God is saying, you must look beyond that. Remember what I said. The only way to rise above it is to hear what he said, say what he said, and not say what we see. I have to say that over and over, because the Spirit of the Lord is just so keen right now in what he's saying to the church, is that don't let this season get past you. You know, if you don't understand, all we have to do is ask God. He'll open up our understanding. But he's saying, as you hear of bombs dropping and innocent lives being taken and all of this that's happening, terrorist plots and schemes, God is saying, this also speaks to what's happening in the spirit realm. And I'm awakening my people to see and to understand and to know that just as those in the natural now are trying to rally and build up their troops and build up their forces, God is saying, I'm calling my people to rise up. You're going to have to arm yourselves. You know, you're going to have to put on the armor of God. We've been lax, perhaps, in some areas. And God is saying, you're going to have to put it on. You're going to have to put it on. You're going to have to wear it. You can't operate in fear. You're going to have to wear it. You know, don't align with the temporal. Don't worry about what it is that the world is worried about. But you seek God and seek him daily. Seek first the kingdom. And then the Lord is saying, don't allow yourself to become overwhelmed. We cannot be overwhelmed with the cares of this world, because God wants to move us into position. Yes, God wants to use you. No matter what it looks like, God has need of you, and he wants to use you. And you're not limited by what you see and what you think are your resources. You're not confined and limited by what you think you have, your intellect, your expenses, none of that. God is calling for his remnant now, and he is anointing, and he is raising up, and he is going to use his people beyond our human capabilities if we will let him. I believe that's the time that we're in. I believe that, you know, God has more for us than just bubblegum messages. I believe God wants to speak to his people with profound word and something that's going to carry us through and carry us over. Listen, we need a word from the Lord to get through these days that are coming, this time that we're in. We're going to have to recognize that we're up against a formidable foe, but God has overcome. Jesus overcame the world, and we have to put our trust in him. He's saying, you can trust me. You can trust me. You can trust me. No more repeating just what you hear them say on the news and what their report is and what their, you know, what they're saying is going to come to pass. But we depend on God. We depend on him. And I'm praying for you. We need to pray for one another, that God will begin to stir within us that which desires more, that God will begin to stir in his people that which yearns for the next level and that yearns for that greater place in him, because God is calling us to that. And, you know, God is calling us to a higher place, not just for more stuff, but for more of him. God is calling us to that place where he's saying, you've got to hear what I told you. You've got to remember what I said. Don't go by what you see, but remember what I said. Say what I said and stand on that. Stand on what it is that God has spoken with regard to this world. Yes, trying times are going to come, but we're yet victorious. There are going to be times when it seems like all hope is lost. I mean, you know, we don't hear that kind of message much, but it's true. There are going to be times when it seems like God is not answering and that he's not coming through, but we have to begin to say what the word says. That's faith. You know, when we can, in the midst of our circumstance, say, oh, no, our Redeemer lives. He lives, and he's the true and the living God in spite of everything that we see and everything that we experience, because the desires of the flesh are against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh. The desires of our spirit are against our flesh. Your spirit is pushing you to greater. The flesh is saying, don't go, don't go. You don't know. You don't know what's in the next realm. You don't know. You know, don't do it. You know, the people may not accept you. All of those crazy things that come against us. But that was in Galatians 5:17 where it speaks about that. But God is saying, I want you to say what I've said. Know that the spirit, the things and the desires of the spirit are always at enmity with your flesh. And I'm going to have to push you beyond your limitations. I'm going to push you beyond where you see yourself, you know, because God is saying that he is calling his church to a place, and it's a higher place. It's a place where we operate from kingdom authority, and we talk about it a lot. But I'm telling you, that I believe God is going to have the rubber meet the road here now, because we're seeing so much, even in the natural, and I believe that there's so much warring going on in the spirit, and we can be oblivious to it if we're not in tune, if we're not in a place where we can hear him. That's what becoming overwhelmed with the cares and what we see in this world can do to us. It clamors, it keeps the voice of God from reaching our spiritual ear, because we're so overwhelmed by what we're hearing in the natural until what God is speaking is being clouded and distorted. But God is saying, you just begin to say what I've said and stop mimicking and saying what you hear the world saying, and you're going to see that I will speak to you and I'll give you clarity. God's going to give us clarity. His desire is that we bear much fruit. Yeah, and that we walk in power, and we walk in our justification, and we walk in the realization that our God is real, Yes, and that everything that we were is buried with Christ, and we've arisen new creatures. You're not who you used to be. You're a new creature in Christ, but the enemy wants you to always see what you've seen before and where you've been before, because there's a greater demand upon us now because we've entered warfare. We're in the army of the Lord, and, you know, we're not here just based upon our skills, but we are here, thank God, because the Holy Ghost wars through us if we let him. So we're in spiritual warfare. Know it, believe it, or not, but God is saying, you're going to have to begin to say what I say. Get into that word. Listen to the Holy Ghost as he speaks to you, and whatever he says, do it. Whatever he says, just do it. You know, as he's speaking, don't oppose it, just do it. Because if you oppose it, then you're working alongside of the temporal. You're working alongside of the flesh. You're working from a place that says, God, I doubt that you can do this through me. But he's saying, whatever I choose to do, I can do through you. All I need is for you to be available. All I need is for you to say yes. So understand this. God is calling for you today, not to live according to the flesh, because if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. And remember, the works of the flesh is anything that opposes God, anything that opposes God. Just the fact that we draw back. The scriptures say in Hebrews 10, God takes no pleasure in him that, my soul takes no pleasure in him that draweth back. So anything that opposes God, we want to put those works to death, and we want the light and the life of Christ to be operative in us. The more. When you get up in the morning, I challenge you, let the first thing you do not be to say what they're saying on the news, but say what God has said. Find something in that word that you can meditate on, and let that be your word for today, that day, and meditate on what God has said and speak it, because we are kingdom dwellers. And say what it is regardless to what it looks like. Say what God has said regardless to what the circumstances look like. Speak to God first in the morning. Tell him that you're seeking first the kingdom of God. Ask God to speak to your heart. Ask God for wisdom. Tell God yes. You know, sometimes the enemy wants to make us afraid to say yes. He wants us not to trust the Lord. Don't say yes. Don't ask for patience. Don't do this, because that's seated in a place of not trusting God, of mistrust. If you say yes, you don't know what God's going to put upon you. But we know he's not going to put more upon us than what we can bear. But he's called us to a place of freedom. He's called us to a high calling. And he's called us to a place that is apart from our flesh, which gives us to operate in fear and in death and in doubt and in unbelief. We're free. We're free. And whom Christ has set free is free indeed. Walk in that freedom. Find yourself throughout the day whispering a prayer. We can pray anywhere and anytime. Nobody can legislate that. We can pray and teach your children. Honey, you can pray at the bus stop. You know, you can pray. You don't even have to open your mouth, and you can pray to God. Teach them to look to God. You know, they don't want to give you a moment of silence at school. You can still pray. You can pray while you're walking home. You know, just to open up their understanding that we're living as kingdom dwellers, and when we walk by faith, it's not something that man can put a law around and legislate. We're free. We're free in Christ. And he whom the Lord has set free is free indeed. Well, I thank God on tonight. My challenge to you is to begin then to say what God has said. You see, the disciples, they forgot. Jesus had told them that, you know, he would die, but that he would rise again after 3 days. He told them specifically in Mark 9:31, but they didn't understand. They didn't understand what he meant, but the key part of Mark 9:32 is that they didn't understand what he meant, and they were afraid to ask him. Listen, don't walk in fear. No more walking in fear. God's desire is to give us the kingdom. God wants to reveal his heart to us. You know, what a tragedy that they ran and they hid. And who knows, you know, I probably would have done the same thing. But they were very disappointed. The hope that they had in him seemed to be dashed, like it was not going to, dashed as though it was not going to come to pass. But all of those things are written for our learning, for us to have faith. So many times we too doubt the word of God, and we act as if the word of God is not true, but it's true. And he is returning someday, and we're not to give up on that. He said in this last day, people will forget what he said, and that he said, I'm coming back, but that many would forget, and that they would even mock and say, you know what, they've been saying he's coming back for who knows how long. He's not coming back. And so men would just turn to the flesh, and they would begin to take pride and confidence in those things that are temporal. The word of God has already told us that. But he's saying to us tonight, if you trust me, believe what I said. Don't worry about what you see. Don't begin to say what you see, because if you say what you see, you'll say that I'm not coming, but I'm coming. I'm closer than you think. And you'll begin to say that I can't use you, you know, that the world has more to offer you in big paychecks and fine houses and fancy cars and all of that. But he is saying that I want to use my church, and in a greater way than I ever have. I want to show myself strong. The kingdom of God shall come on earth, and it's going to come through his people. I want to be a part of that, don't you? God doesn't want to do anything in this season without his people. We don't have to beg and plead for that. God has already told us that what he intends to do, he wants to do it in and through us. That's why he put us here. So I'm so grateful tonight. I'm grateful for an opportunity to share with you. I'm grateful for the Lord. I'm just grateful for his great plan, his great plan. He has a plan for you and for me. Run and tell somebody about it. Oh, my, what a great plan God has, and we are so grateful on tonight. Listen, I'm glad that you joined us. I think we've gone a little past our 30 minutes tonight, but, oh, God is so good. God is so good. Don't say what you see. Say what God has said. Make up your mind that you're going to do that. God is faithful. Align yourself with his word. Say what he said, and he's going to bring it to pass. God, we thank you on tonight. Thank you for your great and precious people everywhere. Continue to build them up. Build up the household of faith, Lord God. Give your people to walk by faith and not by sight. We realize that we're in spiritual warfare, God, but we know that you've already overcome the world. And greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. And we thank you for it right now in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Join us again next Monday. Bring somebody with you at 7:30 for When Passion Meets Purpose.